opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The Shasta Cascade Bass Anglers Fall Classic. Happy Friday evening to you. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
And this is Shasta Outdoors, brought to you tonight by Professional Exterminators and Caliber Office Furniture. As an outreach of It Does My Soul Well, Shasta Outdoors endeavors to bring to you every Friday evening guests, news, and information about the great outdoors in Northern California. And Jennifer, what exactly is It Does My Soul Well?
It Does My Soul Well endeavors to accomplish three things. One, we challenge you to get outdoors. Two, we inspire you to get healthy. Three, we encourage you in your spiritual life.
So Shasta Outdoors Radio is our way to challenge you to get outdoors and enjoy things like hiking, kayaking, fishing, hunting, camping, biking, you name it. There's a wide variety of choices, especially here in Northern California. Tonight in the studio, we have with us Todd Cerna.
That's right. Todd is a member of the Shasta Cascade Bass Anglers, and this weekend is the Fall Classic Bass Tournament. Why was that such a mouth?
Oh, I'm looking forward to talking with Todd again. He was on the program a few months ago. Actually, it was back in June. It's hard to believe that so much time has passed so quickly, and it was fun talking bass fishing with him. So I am looking forward to that. Jennifer, what have you been out and about doing, getting outdoors?
I did what I said I was going to do. I had pumpkin patch time.
It was
really great. So I headed out to Nash Ranch. If you guys haven't been out there, you really should give it a try.
I haven't been out there in years.
I love that one.
Right.
It's so nice. They have just such a huge amount of space. There's just so much land out there, and it takes up, it really does, but when you're done, you're exhausted. There's so much to walk and see, and if you're going to go walk for a pumpkin, then you're going to be walking a lot.
Right.
In fact, we were there with my, so I had my kiddos, and my dad was there, and my Uncle Alan, and we were going to go pick a pumpkin, and my Uncle Alan kind of just stands there and looks out over, and he's like, you know what, I think I'll head home, you know, as soon as he finds out we're going to go out and adventure and look for a pumpkin.
Right.
So we get up next to the patch, and we, you know, we've already walked that far, and we're looking out there. And my dad and I just kind of look at each other, and we turn around and get one of the pumpkins out of the little bins right by the checkout stand there, because it really is overwhelming. There's so many.
Right, there's so many. So you didn't go out there to, you just picked one that was already pre-picked?
We did, but earlier, before that part happened, we did ride the train.
Oh, how
fun.
And
the train took us all the way around the whole patch, and it is a longer ride than last year. And that's not science. If the people from Nash are listening right now, they're going to be like, it's exactly the same, but it feels much longer. For sure, it feels like a really big ride out there.
Did you take all your kids out there with you?
So my boys didn't go because they had another activity. So I took my girls, and I took a little boy I was watching, so Addie's best friend. So I had 2 2-year-olds, an 11-year-old, and a 12-year-old. And then me and my dad and my uncle, Alan, and they just happened to be out there because they were watching the tractor pulls. But it worked out to our advantage.
Oh, they had tractor pulls out there.
They did. Oh. And that is actually one of my favorite things.
I haven't been to a tractor pull since the mid-80s, since before your time, Jennifer.
I know that my dad and my uncle Alan are probably both listening, and I think this is the one activity my dad ever does, probably ever, to leave the house, is just this. The mid-80s, huh?
Yeah.
They had them
at the posse grounds. Well, at the rodeo.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, it was
okay.
A big deal, and they had, so they called it a tractor pull, but I mean, they had these hopped up big vehicles that,
they
made all kinds of noise. They were very pretty.
I mean, that does sound pretty entertaining, honestly.
And, they also had what they call, one of those monster trucks. That's before
there
was lots of them. So there were very few huge monster trucks. And I remember, that one was called the Cardiff Giant.
Oh.
And so it was the first time I had ever seen a monster truck
person. And it was an action too. It sounds like it was an action.
Believe it or not, I've been doing video production since the mid-80s, and I was actually there to produce a video for them. So I was doing all of their video taping for them and putting it all together.
You probably had a pretty good view. You probably got to get a little bit closer.
I was right there.
You were
there.
In the danger zone
yes,
of these
tractors. I was down there on the ground. I was not up in the stands. And so yeah, pretty spectacular. I'm thinking that at Nash, it wasn't quite like that.
There was no monster trucks. I can tell you that right now. But it was pretty cool because they had, my dad's a John Deere guy and so is my uncle.
Right.
And so they had those and they could kind of watch that. It had this really cool thing that like would re-sift the ground, the earth, mm-hmm. to make it flat again. And that was pretty cool to see too. But over on the other side was the old fashioned, old timey tractor engines.
Nice.
The ones that like spit and sputter and all that. And maybe some of them actually are just engines to washing machines. I don't know. I couldn't tell the difference.
Wow.
couldn't tell you.
Hey, do you know, they used to have a haunted house out that way.
They had the best haunted house.
Is it still out there?
They're
or
not
no?
doing it this year,
oh,
from what I understood. It was Dreams of Darkness, and it was actually in one of the top 10 rated of the United States at one time, from what I understand. It was amazing. It took about 45 minutes to an hour to get through.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular for a local, haunted house like that. And I would literally go through, and at certain times, I would be scared.
Oh, I was scared the whole time. I'm a chicken. I'm a big chicken, and I like to be scared, and I make fun of it. I'm like, I'm hiding. I'm running. I'm screaming. I'm the perfect person to take to any of those things.
So I don't know of any haunted houses, maybe out at Haas Farms.
So Haas does the Haas Haunts, and that's really cool. They have, like, zombie paintball or whatever, and then the corn mazes and stuff. But also, I think it's one of the Reading Clubs puts on that thing at the Monolith.
Oh, are they doing that?
Yeah, I've been hearing advertisements.
Oh, interesting.
So that's going to be...
They did that when I was a teenager.
Oh.
That used to be the location for the haunted house. Now, it wasn't all that spectacular back then, but that was the local haunted house.
Well, I hear now it's really good. They put all the Monolith. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, right there by the Sheraton and the Turtle Bay. That's where the Monolith is, yeah.
Yes.
I keep hearing advertisements for it, but it's only maybe a couple of days.
Okay.
I don't know if it started yet. Perhaps it started tonight.
Mm. Wow, I might have to go check it out. Well, listen, I have been blown it. I have not gotten out. Fanny and I, my Peruvian queen, we have been just preparing to get on the road full time in an RV. We actually went to an RV show. I'm saying that in quotes. It was actually at a dealership, so it wasn't like it was this big convention anywhere. But we pretty much know what we want, but then we go and look at some other ones, and we think, well, this would work well too, and we like this, and I have certain things. One of the things that I really want, because some of these fifth wheels, they have an outdoor kitchen.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking, oh, how fun would that be?
Because
I already cook outdoors a lot. I go out to the grill, and I love to cook breakfast in the morning on the grill.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so
why not have a blender outside?
Right, a blender. Yeah, I don't do any outdoor blending right now.
Not yet.
Hey, on the board tonight, our producer is Ty Chapman. Ty, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing well a little bit.
I heard the old man because we know that your wife looks like she might be going into labor.
Anytime now. I'm already tired, man. I'm telling you, the baby's already here.
Oh, my goodness. We hope we have you for the rest of the show. I don't know what we would do if all of a sudden you had to walk out the door.
I'll try to take over the controls, Ty.
I think I could tell you guys what to do.
Okay. Yeah. Just shut her down. Lock her up.
I think I'd rather help your wife give birth than try to figure out how to run the radio station.
Well, that might happen. I'd rather.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit of carry on.
Yeah. Next week we're going to be probably talking about this new baby.
Absolutely.
And this is number two for you, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well. We'll get ready. I'll be looking for my cigar next week.
That's right. Maybe Tallulah.
Yeah.
Aww, Tallulah. That's the cutest.
Tallulah, and check out the middle name. Tallulah Jane Elaine Chapman.
Tallulah Jane Elaine Chapman.
She already sounds
now,
like
Tallulah,
she has good credit.
That's a Greek name, isn't it?
I do believe, yes.
Yeah. And I had 2 years of Greek, but I can't remember what that name actually means.
You know, we had it looked up.
It probably means something like beautiful.
Yeah, I think so. Because we have a daughter named Lila, so we just wanted something to go with it.
Lila. I love that name.
And Lulu. I don't know.
Lila
and Tallulah.
That is so cute.
Way cool. Hey, Jennifer, if people want to know more about Shasta Outdoors, how can they do that?
Oh, they can visit itdoesmysoulwell.com where they'll find some videos and recordings of this program, a blog by Tim, and more. Also, you can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, and if someone would like to call with a comment or question.
I'm having a hard time getting people to call in. Somebody please call. The phone number is 530-605-4567. And Todd Cerna is so cool. You're going to want to talk to him for sure.
Absolutely. Hey, before we take a break here, let's thank one of our sponsors.
How about Professional Exterminators?
All right.
Shasta Outdoors would like to thank our wonderful sponsor, Professional Exterminators. Professional Exterminators has been around for 15 years, and they are appropriately named Professional Exterminators.
Yes.
Because they are the true professionals who will take care of everything from ants, spiders, wasps, roaches, earwigs, fleas, bedbugs, and moths. They also take care of those smaller rodents, which seem to make their way into the storage shed, garage, and even the house. I'm talking about mice and rats. Gross. They'll do pest trapping like skunks, raccoons, and any other kind of unwanted critter. He did give me some tips about squirrels once.
Yes.
Professional Exterminators is locally owned and operated by Dave and Madonna Silva, amazing people who are an important part of this community. So no matter what your need, you can call them, and they will give you a zero-obligation free estimate. So if something's bugging you, give them a call, 530-338-2822. Professional Exterminators, 530-338-2822.
All right, we'll be back after these additional messages. You're listening to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
I say daddy loves you, baby, one more time. She says I know, I think I've got a bite.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, friends. RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, La Gloria Cubana Classic. A longtime favorite, created with Nicaraguan and Dominican fillers and an exquisite Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. Along with a medium body profile, this stick offers rich chocolate and leathery notes with a cedary finish, guaranteed to age well. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota VX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota VX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Hi, this is Chelsea with NorCal Tractor and Equipment. You do it all, we do it local.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
Hey, Jennifer, back in June, we had this gentleman on the program to talk with us about bass fishing. And it was quite enjoyable for me personally because, as you know, I love bass fishing.
You love that.
And he is a member of Shasta Cascade Bass Anglers. And at the time, we talked a little bit about what was coming up in the fall. And that is the Fall Classic Bass Tournament. And that's happening this weekend, starting tomorrow. So, Todd Cerna, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And so, Todd, we want to just reintroduce you to our audience. And so let's start off. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Todd Cerna. I've been bass fishing. I've been in the club about, I don't know, 10 years now.
Right.
Been treasurer for about 8 of those years. Got suckered into that, I guess I can say. a lot of work, but it's fun to do. Yeah, I've been fishing for quite a long time, so I enjoy bass fishing a lot, so it's good.
And then give us a rundown again. How did you ever first really get into fishing?
As a kid, trout fishing, you know, streams, and then later on, a good friend of mine started taking me fishing. A guy named Mel Hendrickson started taking me fishing, bass fishing, and if you ever see the guy, ask him. He's created a monster, is what he says.
I love that.
So it's great.
Yeah, there's something very addictive for me about bass fishing.
You know? It's crazy addicting. Crazy addicting.
Yeah,
yes.
When I was younger, we would go fishing, you know, you throw the bobber out there into the lake and you watch it and you kick back and you wait and you're patient. But bass fishing is a total different game, isn't it?
A totally different game, yes. It's a lot of different baits. You know, there are different depths. You know, it's just any day it could be different any day. And one bait one day, the next day it's not going to work.
Right.
You just got to go out there and try and see what's going to work.
Oh, man, I know, as you know, my dad was an avid bass fisherman, and he was really good at it. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, he would have all kinds of tackle with him. Usually, I don't know, a minimum of 7 or 8 poles, fishing poles, all tied up and ready to go. And I should change that. It's rods.
Rods.
Poles.
Yes, rods. Yes.
Which we learned last time you were on the program. And so all of these fishing rods that he would have. And I fished a few tournaments with him, and we would go out and do the pre-fishing and pretty much learn where they were, what they were hitting, but it could change the next day when you actually get out there for the tournament, right?
That would make exciting, right? That keeps you on your toes, right?
Or frustrating.
keep on your toes, that's for darn sure. Yeah, definitely. You know, Tim's dad, Irv, was a member of the club for years.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Member of the club for a lot of years.
Yeah.
How many years have you been a member of the club, Todd?
About 10 now.
Oh, that's right. You started out by saying that. I should have written it down.
That's okay.
It's so interesting. I feel like I've learned so much about you this evening that I'm just trying to take it all in.
And so you've been a member there for 10 years. And why did you join the club?
You know, just for something, you know, we're all... I don't know. I think most men, I should say, have competitive nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of fun to compete and stuff like this and not get too serious about it, but kind of have a little seriousness about it.
Sure.
Is it an all men's club?
No, it's not an all men's club. I'm just saying men are kind of me, and men are kind of, you know, competitive. That's what I was trying to say.
Right.
Totally. Women can be there. It can be too. How are the women in the club? Are they competitive fishers?
There's no women in the club right now.
Oh, okay.
There's a few women fishing the tournament this weekend.
So. Okay.
Yeah, they do fish. Yep. So
awesome. Awesome.
There we go.
And before we get into the actual tournament itself, let's talk some more about Shasta Cascade Bass Anglers.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the organization, when it got started, and what they do.
Yeah, so Shasta Cascade Bass Anglers, it was probably the mid or early 70s, about 73, I believe, is when it was. I believe one of the founding members, Irv Scarborough, a couple of the, I can't think of Mr. Moss's first name right now.
I know who you're talking about.
And anyway, several guys got involved and started this club. And then a few members, you know, they started getting more members. At one time, it was the biggest club on the West Coast with over 70 members at one point.
Wow.
In the late 70s, yeah. And then, you know, the club has always supported Special Olympics in the club for 33 years or 32 years we've done it. So, yeah.
Right. I know that you do some, you know, donations, some charitable work and all of that. But on an ongoing basis, there's typically, how often do you have a tournament?
So we meet once a month at some lake, semi-locally, anywhere from Shasta, Trinity. We go to Clear Lake, you know, lakes like that. And once a month we meet there. So to fish a tournament, yes.
And how have you been doing, Todd? Win any tournaments yet this year?
Yeah.
You know, I've won one this year. First tournament in June. You know, actually it was our April tournament. I'm sorry. It was our April tournament in Trinity.
Nice.
I won that tournament, got lucky enough to win that one. I've not fished very many tournaments since then. I fished a couple. I've been busy, right. And so life, you know, so
sure.
Life goes on, and I fish when I can. So
yeah.
I know we're going to go into rules of the tournament, but when you're saying you won the tournament from an outside perspective who hasn't ever done a fishing tournament, what I'm thinking is that you have like an 8-foot fish or something on your wall.
Yeah. So, so like our club events, or most tournaments anyway, there are 5 fish limit and you keep your 5 biggest fish and you bring them into weigh-in.
And you had the 5 biggest fish.
I had over 27 pounds of fish and 5 fish.
That is amazing. Yeah, and that is cool. Not as cool as my idea of you standing there with a ladder holding this giant fish. But no, I like that way that you won too. That's very cool.
Yeah, that tournament there, my biggest fish was a little over 7-pound largemouth I caught on Trinity Lake. So,
When you keep them, do you eat them?
No, when we do tournaments, it's all catch and release only.
Okay.
Yeah, and most bass anglers that are serious, they do it for the sport of it, and they release all the fish.
Absolutely.
You know, so definitely release fish.
That's what I thought that the tournaments were like that, but then when you said that you catch your 5 biggest, I was like, I'm not sure exactly if there was a reason besides a trophy or an award,
So, you know, we're coming into fall, and I'm still not going to quite get into I'll probably do this more in the next segment as we get into the actual tournament that's happening starting tomorrow. But, you know, the lake changes, the weather changes, fishing changes. So are you fishing in this tournament this weekend?
No, I have. You know, I have too much stuff to do. I cannot fish this tournament. I fished a long time.
All right. Well, then we can ask you some of these questions, and you don't have to be afraid to give us the answers because your competitors, you know, you might be helping some of the people in the tournament. But what are they hitting out there now?
So, you know, they're anywhere from the bank to 40 feet. They're catching. Okay.
Yeah,
so it's pretty deep. Actually, a little deeper. Some fish a little deeper. But, you know, some people are, you know, if not, or spoons.
Mm-hmm.
So a jigging spoon, they
jigging
call
spoon.
It. Yeah.
Yes.
So there's Hopkins, War Eagles, Castmasters, stuff like that. And they're getting out in 40 feet of water and they're finding bait.
Right.
The big bait balls of shad. And that's what the bass feed on. And these jigging spoons act like a wounded fish.
Yes.
So the spotted bass attack it. So.
Mm-hmm. We're deceiving the fish.
Yes, we're tricking the fish.
I actually really like catching fish that way.
Yes,
you know?
It's a lot of fun.
As long as it's not very windy and you're trying to, because typically you're trying to stay in a pretty
specific spot.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain depth, and it can be a lot of fun as you're jigging that spoon. And so, Jennifer, you basically let that spoon go down. I typically, you know, you want to be just off the bottom.
Yep.
And then you jerk that up as if you're setting a hook, and then you let it drop back down. And then you pull back up, and then pretty soon you pull up, and your pole still stays bent over.
Something's getting your false fish.
So the spoons act like a wounded or a dead fish. It kind of flashes in the water. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. The thing about it is sometimes you think you have a big one on, but you don't really have a big one on because you got it hooked in the back or the tail or some strange place.
Aww. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some other things are catching them on too are spinner baits, you know. Mm-hmm.
Resonates with me.
White on white, they call it white on white spinner baits or a shad pattern spinner baits, you know. And then
how big of a spinner bait?
Half ounce, 3/4 ounce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So is that typically like in the morning or throughout the day?
All
or?
Day. That's a typically all day type thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Typically all day. Yeah.
And so you're running those deep then?
Well, you can run them. It depends on, you know, how slow you go, but you can go to about, you know, 20 to 30 feet with a spinner bait, definitely. So
Right. Yeah. Okay. But are you casting into the shore and then reeling
it back? You can. Either way, you can cast to the shore, just stay out 30, 40 feet of water and cast out there and just let it go to the bottom and slow roll it back in. Slow reel slow back at you.
Nice. Yeah. All right. It's making me want to go out there fishing, but you know what? We sold our kayaks.
Uh-oh. Oh, damn.
So Todd's going to have to take me.
You're going to have to go fishing with Todd.
I know.
Anytime, Tim. Just call me.
All right. I've got your number, that's for sure.
You and Fanny both.
All right.
What you said about the wind, it reminds me of when I was fishing with my dad. And I remember that, like trying to be at a certain place, and then the wind would just keep moving the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep moving the boat and keep moving the boat.
Yeah. Well, if you're in a good bass boat and you've got a good trolling motor on that, on the front, and you're good at it, you can keep yourself pretty much in the same spot. it can be a challenge. But hey, we got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about this bass tournament. And but before we go to a break, we've got another sponsor to thank.
Shasta Outdoors would like to thank our sponsor, Caliber Office Furniture. If you work from home, it can be a challenge to make do with the space you have available. Caliber Office Furniture makes it easy for you. All you have to do is go to caliberoffice.com. That's caliberoffice.com. Select Work from Home, and there you'll find a beautiful selection of desks, chairs, and accessories. And it's all on sale right now with free shipping directly to your home. Again, that's caliberoffice.com. Thank you, Chris Cable and Caliber Office Furniture, for sponsoring this program.
Absolutely, and we will be back after these messages.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Join One Safe Place for an electrifying night of glamour and show-stopping performances. October 21st, the Cascade Theater in Reading will host the dazzling final edition of Dancing with the Stars, Shasta Style. Talented professional dancers will compete for the Champions Trophy. Your golden tickets for the show are on sale now at ospshasta.org or go to cascadetheater.org. Brought to you in part by Reading Rancheria, Results Radio, KRCR Channel 7, and KCNR. Be a part of something truly extraordinary, because at One Safe Place, together we change lives.
Hey friends, please join us at Reading Civic Auditorium for the first annual Justice Crab Feed October 21st to raise money in the fight against human trafficking in Reading and abroad.
All proceeds go directly to Hard Places Community and Justice 180, both nonprofit organizations. Tickets are available at $75 each, or you can get a table sponsorship as well. For more information, go to justicecrabfeed@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at justicecrabfeed.
It can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck to pull it. It can buy me a Yeti 110 ass down with some silver bullets.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
A big bass tournament happening this weekend. I wonder what kind of weather they're going to have. Ty?
All right. Well, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. Just how beautiful? Well, tomorrow it's going to be 78 degrees in the daytime, partly cloudy, 55 degrees for a low. And Sunday it's going to be raining, 66 degrees and 54 degrees for a low.
All right. How does that sound, Todd?
It sounds great. It sounds great.
Actually, sounds like fast tournament weather.
Isn't it good for fishing in the rain sometimes?
The rain will help the fishing sometimes. Most of the time it will, especially this time of year.
It'll bring them up to the surface because of the interruption the rain causes in the water, right?
He knows he should be out here. He knows his bass fishing.
Yeah,
I know a little bit.
I was thinking it's a little bit more has to do with the barometric pressure, because I have always noticed that if a storm's coming in, and during the storm is going to be good fishing.
Yep.
But if the storm's going out, typically they're not hitting as well.
You're exactly right.
And so, regardless of water, raindrops hitting the lake or not, it just has something to do with that barometric pressure and how active that they're actually going to be. And so the Fall Classic, talk to us about the Fall Classic. Give us some information.
Okay, well, this is the 33rd annual Fall Classic. It's a great, tournament we put on every year. It's just the third weekend of October every year. We launch it Saturday, Sunday, both days, the 21st, I guess it's 21st and 22nd this year. We launch out at Bridge Bay and we take off about safe light. And, you know, we come in, we weigh in about 3 o'clock. So.
Okay. How many fishermen do you have signed up?
That's what I was
going to
say.
Uh-oh.
How many participants?
Right now we have 24 boats pre-signed up.
Okay.
Which is a good thing because if you happen to pre-sign up, you get a drawing to win a couple of different gas cards to,
ooh,
to Pine Grove Valero, which is one of our sponsors.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, yeah, so, yeah. So.
How many people per boat?
2 people per boat. It's a team tournament, so 2 people per boat. Yep.
Right. So. And so people can still sign up,
people
though,
can,
right?
Yes, they can still sign up. Tomorrow morning, I'll be at Phil's at 4 a.m.
Okay.
And then if...
And
if,
that's Phil's Propellers on what do you know the address?
Yeah, I don't know the address offhand. Phil's Propeller on Twin View Boulevard.
Yes.
In Shasta Lake.
It's just, it's right there by Interstate 5. Typically when I go out there, I go out to Pine Grove, take yep. that exit. I make, if I'm going north, I make a right, then make another right.
That's right. Exactly yeah. right. Yeah. So, one thing I'm doing, if you, you happen to be listening to this radio, listen to the radio right now and you mention it in the morning, we usually have a $10 late fee for sign up Saturday morning. I will waive that late fee. So,
nice.
So yeah, just to something little, anybody listening out there wants to fish, last minute thinking about it, I'll waive that $10 late fee and we can come out and go fishing. So
wonderful.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
That is way cool. And
well,
so,
I'm,
hey, good incentive.
What the rules are for the tournament.
Well, you gotta have a boat, have to have a live well, have to have a 60 horse motor or bigger. And a live well, and some fishing rods.
Right.
That's
what
about
if
it.
You cheat and bring your own fish?
Well, that's not good. That's not good.
There is something that you do for that, right?
Yes. Well, we can, in our rules, we can do polygraph.
Right.
We can.
Really?
Yes, we can.
This is a real thing.
This is a real
thing.
Yes.
Yes.
You're kidding me. You are not going to be able to tell that someone went to Rayleigh's and bought a nice damn fish.
Well,
they got to be live when they come in.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, they got to be full fish. Got to be live. So
right.
Okay.
So and it is always a possibility that you do a drive by for the live wells.
We do
right?
a drive by live well check. Mm-hmm. Check everybody's live well. Make sure they're empty.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know my dad. He's won tournaments and where they've done a polygraph. On him
no
to
way.
Ask questions. Yes, because, yes. you know, 99.9% of the fishermen are all good people and very honest and do
yeah.
things right. But then there are a few that will go out and pre-fish and they'll drop them in a cage somewhere
yes,
in the
right.
bottom of the lake and then they'll go pull them up and mm-hmm. and try to put those in. Well, if something like that happens, you're going to be, of course, if you win, there's the potential that you'll be taking a polygraph to see mm-hmm. if you did so honestly.
I've heard that sometimes yeah. men lie about how many inches their fish is.
Yeah, they do.
Not
true.
Just the fish. But yeah. anyway.
So it's the five biggest fish come into the weigh-in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, top weight wins. We have a big fish. Also, a biggest fish wins money. Also, Phil's Propeller is graciously giving us money. Anybody wearing, I should say, the team has to come in both wearing Phil's shirt, sweatshirt, hat, or something.
Oh.
Highest finished team gets $100 cash
ooh,
each.
Oh, yay.
Wow.
Oh, that makes you want to go buy a t-shirt.
Yeah, so
that's
exactly.
Cool.
And then he's given $100 each team. I believe it's $100 each team for biggest fish also.
Right.
And then $50 a person for first out of the money.
Wow.
Is there anything for like a booby prize for the smallest fish or something?
No.
A little plunger or something?
We kind of don't do that.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
That would be my prize, though. So.
Now, this raises quite a bit of money. And where do the proceeds go?
Well, this year, so just to back up a little bit, usually we do Northern California Special Olympics, and that stays right here in Shasta County.
Right.
But this year, we are doing the Alyssa Ariza Wings of Angels Foundation.
Okay.
Which money stays locally also. They help with families with kids that have medical needs. They help their families with, financially with, you know, vouchers like food vouchers, hotel vouchers, restaurant vouchers and stuff like that.
Right, right. Okay. Awesome. And so this, again, the proceeds for this is going for the Alyssa Ariza Wings of Angel. And so, Now, I looked up a little bit of information on Alyssa, and she was a young girl that had leukemia, passed away at the age of 9. Mm-hmm. And so the Wings of Angel is an organization that helps these youngsters when they're facing these types of situations, from what I understand.
Yes, yes. So, like, I mean, like, I'm it's dear to me because my grandson was born with half a heart. And, you know, they financially helped my daughter. He was in Stanford for like a year. Mm. So, you know, she helped them out quite a bit with, you know, gas vouchers and gas cards and stuff like that to help them out. So, yes, it was great.
A wonderful foundation. Yeah.
It's a great foundation, yes.
Great organization, and very pleased to see that you guys are helping an organization like this.
Yes, it's a worthy organization to collect your funds.
Yeah, so, you know, right now I'm just going to tell you, we have donations already before this tournament even started.
Mm-hmm.
We got Les Schwab Tires gives us $500 every year to what we want to give a cause to.
Right.
And that's Les Schwab on South Market Street. And then I got some anonymous donations. I can't say who does it, but there's about $1,250 in anonymous donations already that I've received from from one business and another family.
Wow.
So it's great,
And you have a number of sponsors, and let's mention those sponsors.
Yeah, well, you got Phil's Propeller, of course, Les Schwab Tire, and then Pine Grove Valero. Those are our three major sponsors.
Right. Wonderful.
And Phil's been doing this since day one. He's always been more than generous with the club and helps the club out in our donations a lot.
Yeah. One of my favorite memories of Phil, of course, you know, he was fishing these tournaments back in the day. I don't know if he still does or not.
No, he doesn't.
But I guess because of his knowledge of boats and propellers and all of those things, he would have by far the fastest boat in the club.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I can remember being out in a tournament with my dad, and we were one of the first ones off. So when they start the tournament, you know, at this particular one, you were drawing the number, and so we were like number one or number two, and they let you off, and then the next person, I don't know, 10 to 20 seconds, is that right, Todd?
Then
they let the next person go and the next person go. And the reason for that is because people want to get to their spot, be the first one there. And so we were literally, this was going out of Packers Bay on that particular day. And so we had pre-fished and we had our spot all picked out that we were going to start up the Sacramento arm. And so we are going, and my dad's boat at the time would do 80 miles an hour across the water. It was not a slow boat.
No, that's fast on the water.
And we were wearing motorcycle helmets, you know, ducked down. And so there was very little wind drag and we are just zipping, and we look over and here is Phil in his boat, and it looked like it was half race boat, half bass boat.
Oh my.
I don't even know what the style was of this boat. And he was sitting in the front of the boat. The design of the boat meant there was one person who would ride in the back, one person in the front. It wasn't like a side by side kind of thing.
Oh.
And he was in the front. And they went zipping by us, and I remember my dad and I both looking at Phil as he zipped by, and then we looked at each other and just laughed. Because what are you going to do?
Nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. That's right.
Fortunately, they weren't going to our spot.
Yeah, because they had got there 5 minutes before you.
Exactly.
That boat had to be doing close to 100 miles an hour. It was ridiculously crazy.
It is fast. That's fast on the water. If anybody's been on the water, that you're sitting 3 inches out of the water on a bass boat, fast.
It is. It's very fast. I've had bass boats over the years, and I've had them that would go up to 70 miles an hour, and that just seemed really fast, you know. And the only time that I would ever even think about running the boat that fast was at these tournaments. There's the thrill of that, of, man, putting the pedal to the metal and cruising across the lake.
Yep, it's fun. I tell you, that's about the only time I go that fast, too.
Right.
So, yeah,
definitely. Yeah, most of the time, I mean, if I'm just out there, I maybe go 40 miles an hour.
Just
maybe
cruising around, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't even think about it. Plus, it saves on gas.
You have to have that speed when it matters, though. And when it matters.
Yes.
Tournament days when it matters.
And there's no speed limit on the lake either.
No, there isn't.
A free-for-all.
Yeah, you can just zip. And I think that's part of the fun, part of the thrill of the tournament is that first taking off part. How are they going to be let out on the tournament tomorrow?
So tomorrow we'll do flights. So It depends how many people. We usually try to do 15 boats per flight. So the first, like, 1 through 15 will go off at, like, a safe light, which is around 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And then we wait a few, after those 15 boats, we wait a few minutes to let the second boats go, the second group go, and so on and so forth.
Right.
And then Sunday, reverse the order.
Okay.
So if you're out last the first day, you go out first the second day.
Okay. Yeah, just makes it
makes
fair.
It makes it fair, yeah.
Have you ever been in a tournament and you're heading to a certain destination on the lake and somebody got there before you?
Oh, all the time.
Right.
All the time.
It's funny how those spots become popular.
They do,
because
you know that everybody else is out there trying to find the same fish you're finding.
Yes.
So, yes.
I noticed, and I was part of a small bass club some 12, 15 years ago, and I noticed some of the guys always wanted to be the not the boater, but the
non-boater, yes.
And of course, I thought, it finally dawned on me that part of the reason was they were learning where my spots were.
That's right. they are learning. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, all right, let's go over here. And if we're catching fish, they're going, okay, here's the spot right
and
here.
And next week you're out fishing. You see that guy in his boat on your spot, right?
Exactly. Yep. It's like, man, dude, what's going on? Using what you were using to catch the fish that day.
That's right.
And so, hey, listen, we have got to take another break. And when we come back, let's talk some more bass fishing. I'm having fun. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
You're listening to Shasta Outdoors.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Are you ready for some scare fun? Well, then come join Reading Rotary Haunted House as a monolith on October 19th through the 22nd and October 26th through the 29th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. Sponsored by Wind River, SPI, and Bud Light. There's going to be food trucks and beer trucks and lots of fun scares to be had. Tickets are available at the door or online at readinghauntedhouse.org. If you'd like to also scare others, sign up at readinghauntedhouse.org.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday, November 10th, at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March On of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more. Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, adapted by Jeffrey Hatcher from the novella Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Directed by Lawrence Stanfield, a new and shocking twist on the classic tale of depravity, lust, love, and horror. See two sides of a psyche battle each other in a deadly game of cat and mouse to determine who shall be the master and who his slave. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and enjoy the store Reading. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, October 20th through November 4th, sponsored by Audiology Associates of Reading, this station, and other amazing sponsors.
Somewhere in the middle of Montana, give me all I've got.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
Mr. Merle Haggard there. He used to do some bass fishing out there on Shasta Lake.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
He's a local.
Oh, yeah. My dad ran into him a few times, you know. And there was a particular gentleman by the name of Mike Martin that used to, I guess, kind of personally guide him out there. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about,
Todd. I do. I know. Yes.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah. And so that was back in the day. But anyway, hey, we're talking with Todd Cerna, and we're talking about the Fall Classic Bass Tournament starting tomorrow. And you've already got some response from people saying that, yeah, they'll take that $10 off and be there first thing in the morning tomorrow to register for the tournament, right?
Yep, Yep. So it's a $170 entry, and if you sign up the morning of, it's a $10 late fee, which goes to the foundation we are sponsoring.
Aww. Right.
But I will waive that fee if you mentioned this radio station.
Nice.
And that you heard me say that.
Right.
In the morning.
All right. So, right on. So cool. Hey, benefit of listening to Shasta Outdoors, and so you're not fishing in the tournament, but.
Not.
In the past, Todd, what kind of weigh-ins have you seen for this tournament?
Like the weight for 2 day total, I'm in the past I've seen up to 30 pounds for 2 days in this tournament. I don't expect that this year. The fishing's been a little tougher.
Right.
I'm thinking, I think someone's catching 24 pounds, 24-ish pounds. They're probably going to win.
Right.
That's my thinking.
Right.
That sounds like a big fish to me. I think
total fish.
Ten fish.
I think we're not having a ladder.
no ladder.
No one likes my ideas for how we should run this tournament. I'd like to have a conversation about this for next year.
Well, they don't have any females yet with Shasta Cascade.
This is probably why, because they don't understand how to run the tournament.
hey, where are the fishermen coming from? Are they just local, or are they coming from other places?
There's a lot of local. They're coming from all the way. There's someone from Portland, Oregon here in town.
Nice.
Yeah, so, and they come from anywhere from, around the West Coast. They do come because the Fall Classic is the start of fishing season, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Shasta Cascade started this tournament, to kick off the fall fishing season. Because this is the best time to start fishing. They want to fatten up for their spawn so they get pregnant and for their eggs. So.
Right, oh. Right. Yeah, I know last spring, boy, it was, I couldn't understand why not everyone was catching fish because it seemed so easy.
They were jumping out at the water at you.
Yeah, they were jumping your boat.
Just paddle across the lake and you're catching fish.
You have fish on your lap.
Yeah. But it's been tough lately. It's been really tough. It's been a weird year, weird summer for fishing. We just don't understand why. It's just one of those years.
Right, right. So people are having a little bit of a tougher time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shasta Cascade Bass Anglers, we're joking a little bit about Jennifer joining, but if a person did want to join, how could they do that?
Well, if they want to join, they can call me. I guess I can give my phone number.
Sure,
out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my phone number is a local. It's 530-515-0170. You give me a call. We could talk about joining. Anybody could join, boat, non-boat. Non-boaters are welcome to come. We meet once a month at Lulu's for a meeting before the tournament. So yeah, if you want to message me on Facebook, whatever you want to do, anybody could join. We'd love to see some women out there come join the club.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that would be a wonderful week.
I'm sorry, he's motioning. I got a beautiful picture this morning of Shasta Lake from one of my friends, and the lake looks really full, and it looks better probably than ever. Does the full lake help with the fishing at all?
It can or it can't. When it's full, it does help.
Right.
When it's dropping fast, it doesn't help.
Right.
The lake's not dropping real fast. It's like about 50 feet down right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not dropping fast. It's slow, kind of slowly dropping, which is good.
Right.
Because I think the Bureau of Reclamation was saying they thought by October, they thought it was going to be like 62 feet, 65 feet. So it's less, it's higher than they thought it was going to be.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, it's good news. Water, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, it's really beautiful when that lake is absolutely full.
Oh, beautiful.
I actually like it better when it's at least 10 feet down when I'm fishing.
Yeah, a lot of people do that because they can see their structure, right?
Structure, and if I'm bringing somebody with me, I'm not going to mention any names like my Peruvian queen, we're not getting as many lines hooked up in the trees that are hanging over the water.
I did that the whole time I was fishing with my dad, too.
And so, hey, in the tournament, I know one of the things that you give an award out for Shasta Cascade Bass Anglers is Angler of the Year.
Yes,
I want to know who is in the running for that right now.
Well, you know what, right? I'm going to tell you, right? 3 years in a row, we call him a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's 30 now, I believe. 30. He's like 30. But when he joined, he was like just young 20s. He's 3 years in a row Angler of the Year.
Wow.
Tyler Marinkovich.
Does he have a job?
He does have a job.
He shouldn't need one. He is Angler of the Year.
Does he have a wife and children?
No, he doesn't.
Right there.
He sounds like a catch. He is a fishing joke.
Yeah, that's a good. So any women out there, we'd love to hook him up with somebody.
Right.
He needs a girlfriend, trust me.
So he's in the running?
Well, he is right now. Actually, he's not leading right now. Mm-hmm. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think one of our older gentlemen in the club, Mike Bacani, is actually leading right now. He's been in the club for a long time. He's one of our elderly ones,
right.
I guess you can say. He's probably 70,
Right.
But Tyler's right there in second, really
this
close.
This is a ploy. You're trying to get Tyler a girlfriend so that you can become Angler of the Year.
He'll be
so distracted.
That's what we're hoping.
Right.
That's what we're hoping. Everybody in the club's hoping that, yes.
Yeah, and so Angler of the Year, basically, I mean, all year long, everyone's getting points for what place they come in.
Yep. You get 20 points for first place and one point for each place below that.
Right. So. And then do you get something special if you have big fish for that tournament?
No, we used to, but no more. We don't.
Right.
We kind of get away from that. Yeah, yep. We're just doing best five fish, and then, we have a big banquet at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We got a great award we give every year too. It's called the Harry and Charlie Award.
Right.
For someone who does something stupid on the lake.
Okay.
See, I knew there was going to be a funny prize.
Don't put their plug in their boat, something like that.
Right.
But there's one guy, and I'm going to mention his name because it's funny because he's got it 3 years in a row. His name is Larry Morales.
Okay.
And now we renamed the award, the Larry and Charlie Award.
Okay.
Because he's been getting it so many times.
And so what did he do?
Well, I think one year he left his plug out of his boat.
Okay.
And what that means is there's a way to drain the water out of your boat.
Yeah.
If there's water gets in there, well, he didn't put it back in all the way. And so water started getting in his boat.
Right.
And of course he has an automatic bilge pump, which pumps the water out automatically. So he had to go take the boat out. He lost his trolling motor one time, and a wind blew him against the bank.
Oh, no.
And we had to go tow him off. So yeah,
poor Larry.
Yeah.
Larry needs a girlfriend.
No, Larry. Hey, Larry's married to Dee Dee. She's great.
Right.
She's a great fisherman, also. Yes.
Wow. Wow.
I hope
she can help him with the boat.
I hope she's listening. I hope this would be fun. She's listening.
Yeah. And so this is going to be taking place. You're going out of Bridge Bay, right?
Bridge Bay Gas Marina. We're going to launch off the Gas Marina at the end of the dock out there at Safe Light. And we do Safe Light because it's, so you could see. Because before Safe Light, there's a speed limit on the lake. It's 5 miles an hour.
Right.
So once you can see fine, we take off. The first group of people will come in at 3 o'clock, and it's every 15 minutes after that. So I'm expecting three or four flights. So up to 4 o'clock.
Right.
And then, if you want to come out and watch the weigh-ins, you're more than welcome to walk down the end of the gas dock at Bridge Bay. And then we're having Sunday is the second day of the tournament. Same thing, 3 o'clock. And we're doing all the awards upstairs at Huff's. The new restaurant at Bridge Bay.
Oh, okay. Wonderful, wonderful. So people can go out there, they can watch the weigh-ins. That might be something I just might be out there.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I enjoy them. I've been out to a number of them. Well, Todd, it was great having you on the program again.
Yes.
Have an awesome tournament this weekend.
Thank you so much.
All the people that are going to participate, just have a blast.
Yeah,
and
Todd, you're so cool. It's cool to learn about you and all the stuff you do and your participation.
I'm just an old local dude that likes to fish.
Awesome.
It's all
awesome.
But thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. So, Jennifer, do you have any outdoor plans for the coming week?
So, I looked up the Reading Haunted House, and I'm interested, so I'm thinking about maybe doing that. That's the one at the Monolith, and that's actually October 19th through the 22nd and the 26th through the 29th, 6:30 to 10 p.m. The tickets range between $15 and $35.
Okay.
So, maybe that will be it. I mean, that might be my outdoor activity since it's kind of, seasonal.
Right, right. Oh, it sounds like fun. You know, I still have on our list Lassa National Park. There's a hike I want to do there. We've been so busy, selling things, getting ready to do the full-time RV. And so I'm hoping I can get my Peruvian queen to break away and let's just see what we can do.
Do something, do a hike, yeah.
Hey, next week.
It's time. It's time. Everyone's asking me who's coming on. Is it Bobo or whatever from the show?
Susie Blackburn. She's a local. And we'll be talking about Bigfoot.
This is
going to
be so cool.
Let's go.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Ty was hoping that was this week, but we had a better program anyway.
Todd's
cool.
Yeah. Hey, Bigfoot's good, too.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun. Hey, Jennifer, we want to say thank you to our sponsors.
Yes, thank you, Professional Exterminators and Caliber Office Furniture.
And thank you, listener, for tuning in to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
We challenge you to get out there and enjoy God's wonderful creation.
We promise it will do your soul well.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.